Sai's glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. The Grade 10 CBSE results 2014 are out, and the Sri Satya Sai Secondary School, Prashanthi Nilayam, has done it again. Professor Anantharaman, the media coordinator of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, issued a special press release on 20th of May 2014 to announce that in the Class 10 results, that is the Central Board of Secondary Education results, the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School at Prashanthi Nilayam has once again achieved its customary 100% results. All the 86 students who appeared from our institution passed with flying colors. Of the 86 students who took the exam from here, 22 scored a perfect 10 upon 10 grade and 58 obtained a 9 upon 10 grade, bringing the grand total of academic distinction achievers to 80 out of 86. And of course, all 86 passed with very good marks. The entire Sai family around the globe thanks Bhagwan Baba for his continued grace upon his students. And congratulations go out to the students, their hardworking teachers and their delighted parents, that is the grade 10 students. And dear listeners, we are hoping the grade 10 results will be equally impressive and are expected soon. And you can be sure to hear about them right here on Morning Glory. And on that celebratory note, I offer myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet as I sign in live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna. Today is the 22nd of May 2014 and the time right now in the ashram is 42 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. The current temperature in the ashram right now is 27 degrees Celsius. We are expecting daytime highs of 35 and overnight lows of 24 Celsius. Actually, our temperatures are pretty reasonable. But when you factor in the humidex, well, then it definitely feels somewhat balmy and hot in the afternoons. But the good news is that we only have about a week more to go before the summer cools off here, which has been happening mostly around the first week of June. So all things considered, life truly is a cakewalk in the abode of supreme peace, where the heart is at home, the mind at ease, and the soul in its natural state, which is bliss. And by the way, I must share the scoop on the humidex story. Last Tuesday, just 2 days ago, at night, around maybe 8:30, Puttaparthi experienced gusty winds followed by heavy rainfall for a couple of hours. That thirst-quenching downpour was very helpful in maintaining our fauna and flora. This summer, we actually have had three such heavy downpours at intervals of a few weeks, and each rainfall has helped us to maintain our lawns and our parks in the ashram and surrounding area. So this lingering humidity that I spoke of earlier is just a passing phase. Meanwhile, here's what's making news in Prashanthi Nilayam. Today, May 22nd, happens to be the 7th anniversary of the passing on of Baba's pet elephant, Sai Geeta. It was on May 22nd, 2007 that Sai Geeta left the body. The Lord of the Universe personally gave her an emotional send-off. A send-off that was so elaborate that it was worthy of a great devotee. This evening, Team Radio Sai will be offering a special tribute to Sai Geeta in the Sai Kulwant Hall. We will webcast this program live from 5:30 p.m. from the Mandir. So, dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to log on to radiosai.org and watch it with us in real time. Now let's shift our attention to the lineup of programs on Morning Glory today. For the past 3 weeks, we have been listening to our continuing Triswit Divinity interview with the internationally acclaimed and incredibly humble diabetologist from Chennai, Dr. V. Mohan. Today, as we listen to his fourth and final part, I urge you to download this interview and please feel free to share it with your Balvika students, your SSC children, Cy Young adults and friends and family, because there's a lot of learning there that which is freely available in that interview. And today I'm going to play the conclusion of that interview for you. Later on in the show, I will also bring you part two of our fleeting moments with V. Krishnamurti. He is an alumnus of the Sai University. So right now, here is part four, which happens to be the final part of our ongoing Triswit Divinity interview with Dr. V. Mohan of Chennai. And he is in conversation with Radio Sai's Bishop Rushti. Please enjoy.
So after you came to Bhagwan's fold, there's a lot of unlearning and relearning that happened.
Absolutely.
And which aspect of Bhagwan's teachings really fascinated you the most?
I think it's the
now
service.
That faith had come.
Yes.
But I think you were more drawn also to his teachings.
To his teachings, to the organization also. To be very honest, when I started going to Sundaram and I saw the, you know, that 6 o'clock tongue, the thing sounds, then it starts. And at 7 tongue, every time it finishes to the second. I was wondering, you know, so many songs being sung, different songs, how do they exactly start on time and exactly end on time, you know? This is a really rare organization. So I was very much impressed with the organization also.
Discipline.
The discipline, the way they do it, the politeness, the humility of the sevadals and all that impressed me. But Swami's teachings, the universal brotherhood, you know, the Sarva Dharma, and then the love all, serve all, help ever hurt now. I think that's what appeals to everyone. Because I think irrespective of whether you're even an atheist or a believer to start with, whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jain or a Parsi or whatever, once you say love all, serve all, help ever hurt never, I think it covers whole of humanity. There can't be better sayings than that. That made a very powerful impact. Although it's very difficult to follow. I'm not saying it's easy to follow. I'm not saying we're all following it. But those teachings, how simple they were. And then the parables and the simple things that he says. And every time I come to Puttaparthi, in his speeches, one line will strike. You know, once he said, if you're taking alcohol, don't bother to come to Puttaparthi. You're wasting your time.
He said that.
One of his speeches. Immediately I gave up alcohol. You know? But that too profound a statement. You know, after that he gone. Another time he said, if you're not doing charity of some kind, you know, it's a waste of time. All other things you're doing is a big show. So you have to do charity. So immediately, then you have to do charity now, you know. See, it's a simple statement, but it hits you so, then for life you're changed.
Yes.
That, then I have to do charity now, you know. Then I went back to the organization and said, can I join one of your Sai Krupas? Can I do free service with you?
Sai Krupa is the medical...
The medical wing. The clinic. The small clinic. Not only in Sundaram, but in many places in Chennai and all over Tamil Nadu, all over India actually. Where you have the small clinics, on Sundays, weekends, where poor patients come. Usually attached to a slum or something like that. So I went and joined. My wife also started coming. We set up a small diabetic clinic there. We started set up an eye clinic there. We donated an ECG there. Small things that we could do. And then started seeing the poor patient. And the kind of satisfaction that we got out of that was something fantastic. Then once in an interview with Swami, just raised the issue about camp. Swami should bless us to do a camp in Kodaikanal. And he said, of course, Sai Shruti, you should use that big ashram. Only when I come, it's used in summer. Rest of the year, it's simply lying vacant. Please use it. There are a lot of poor people there in and around those villages where they need, they don't know. Educate them. Tell them about diabetes. Tell them about what to eat. Tell them about, and he gave instructions about rice and this and that, like we discussed in one. So all those instructions he gave personally. And so that became a regular. So after that, every year Kodaikanal camp happens with the Sai organization and my institution. We join together and then we do this camp. Then this year we started in Ooty. Then we did in Tirunelveli, all with the organization.
Wow.
So in different districts we have started doing. So inspiration came from Swami, because if he can run mega temples of healing here, 300 bedded hospital, thousands of patients, lakhs of patients now who have had free treatment, we feel that we should do a little bit, you know. We can't do like him, but small things under his, with his blessing and with his grace, we started doing the small steps. Again, the inspiration came from him. Everything is his inspiration.
So in many ways, you changed even as a doctor. lots. After you came into Bhagwan's fold.
Yes. That I changed, not only in the way we started looking at thing, you know, from trying to be more humane or trying to show love to the patients, and quite apart from that, over the last few years, and it's evolved slowly, because as I said, initially never even kept pictures. I was shy. Then he taught me through one episode that that's not correct. You need not feel shy. Then I started bringing in all the pictures. Even then I won't talk to anyone about Swami. Pictures are there. If anybody asks, then that's fine. Otherwise, I don't think. Normally, that's not a taboo subject. We don't talk about it. Later on, I said, why not? You know? Then I started, if somebody comes and very, very upset, you know, they've had, you know, somebody died in the family. Okay. The son would have died in an accident or something, you know. 20-year-old boy, just out of college, just in college, 22 years old, just out of college, something like that. And then has an accident and then dies, you know. And the only son, you know, or this. What more that couple has, you know. Their life is shattered. And they'll come and they'll try not to talk about it. And the sugar also will go up. The BP will go up. Everything will go up, you know. And so sugar's not getting in control. Then I'll say there's some stress somewhere. Then they'll break down, you know. Then, you know, I'll hold their hand and say, you know, don't worry, these things happen. Why did it happen? Why did it have to happen? Then something about the karma theory, what Swami has said, and this is his karma, you have to go through it. It's also your karma that you have to suffer. But all this doesn't mean that God is cruel, or some of them, you know, they lose faith and so on. This is something, it's another teacher for you, you know, life's one of his teachings. And then after spending 10, 15 minutes with them, then take out a picture of Swami, and then give them vibhuti and say, you take this every day, this will give you peace, keep this under your pillow, you know, pray to Swami, and you know, I don't know, you may not have faith, but it's my faith, I'm just giving you this. Then they'll come back and say, you know, after you gave that picture, after you gave that vibhuti, our life changed, mm-hmm. you know. So then I say, then why shouldn't I do this more often, you know. So whenever I have a problem, which I think is a little difficult to handle, I have my whole drawer full of pictures and vibhuti and everything ready. I now liberally start giving. Then say, apart from all that I tell you, you know, after all the medical thing, I'm a scientist, I'm a doctor, all that is fine. But beyond me there is something. There is a force beyond me, you know. And for that, my faith is this. You pray to anyone, don't worry. But if you want, I'll give you. If you don't want, it's okay. If you don't want, we'll take it. 100% of times they will take it. And they'll take it and they'll come back later on and they'll say how their life has been changed. Then I feel, no, okay, he's using us as his instruments, you know. That incident came so that this can come, so that their faith can also be reinforced. So he connects people, you know, the way he connects the dots, he connects different, it's like a master planner, like a master game of chess, you know, going on the whole universe. That's why he's divine.
A lot of spiritualization of healing has happened.
Exactly. We realize that, like I told you, you know, one of my patients that didn't want, you know, to go into an ICU. And she just said, I don't mind dying, but I don't want to die inside an ICU. Now, medically, it's a call you'll have to take, you know. My ICU specialist says, sir, she will die. And I'm not responsible, you know. If you keep her in the room, we cannot do the same service as we can do in an ICU. And at that point, it's an ethical decision now. Okay, what if she dies? So at that point, earlier I would have said no. You know, as a normal doctor, what is it? No, this is an ICU case. This has to be treated in ICU. You know, there's no two opinions about it. In the US, will they allow? Or somewhere else, will they allow? So I say, no, I'm going to break this now. So I'll talk to the family and say, look, these are two choices. She can be inside the ICU, where round-the-clock care is there. Okay, and nurses there, doctors there, monitoring, this is there, that is there. In the room, we'll try to do all that, but it'll never be as perfect as the ICU. We can't offer in a room the same service as the thing. But the prognosis is not very good anyway. So she may not make it even if she goes to the ICU. So if she goes to the ICU and she dies there, she'll die alone. Okay, she may not, the last minute, you may not be there. Whereas here, you can be with her all the time. But the care may be a little different in the thing. It's an ethical issue now. And I can't take a decision, okay? You take the decision. Tell me which you want. Either way, I'll do it. Whichever thing. Some will choose that. No, keep her in the ICU itself. But Sai devotees and so on will say, we prefer this. Anyway, we are not very thing. So, no need ICU or not. We want to be with our thing. By all means, you take that. And then we try to do our best in that circumstance. And when that patient dies, even outside the ICU, they are so grateful. because, you know, they'd have been singing a Sai Bhajan when she died. And it makes such a big difference, rather than hearing the noise of a ventilator going on, bong, 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 sound going on. Here, they're hearing a Sai Bhajan, and in peace the lady is going, you see. If I was not a Sai devotee, if I was not in Swami's fold, I would never have done a thing like that. I already said I'm a doctor. Now I'm a doctor professional, okay? So I have to do it this way. Now I say, what professional? We're also human beings, you know? So let's look at it the other way. And then
you're now first a devotee, then a doctor.
Exactly. And I think that's how it should be. As to a devotee, I think that's how it should be. And sometimes when I see a serial or something where they depict doctors, I say, this is how doctors are. They shouldn't be this way. You know, this is not how it is. The way they talk, the way they think, you know. Professionalism is good. I'm not saying professionalism. Science is good. I'm a scientist first. So, scientist, you know, professional, everything. Over and above that, first you're a human being, you know. You should never forget that. And the person sitting opposite you, person you're treating is also a human being, you know. They're not some animal lying there, you know. So that, I think that empathy which Swami has shown in, his is an ocean, we are a drop. You know, I cannot compare it with him. That's an ocean, it's a drop. But little drops only make the ocean, no? So if each one of us adds a drop, ultimately it becomes an ocean.
That's what he says,
my life is my message, no? So that is how
otherwise he would have come in a human form.
Exactly.
And did
exactly,
everything that.
Yeah.
But to continue your journey with Bhagwan, so how and when did you become a trustee of the Tamil Nadu Trust?
Okay, so that was an interesting thing. In 2005, so I told you 94 I came here, 92 I became a devotee. So up to 2005, I remember coming to Puttaparthi also and standing in these long queues. Sometimes it goes up that hill, you know. So from there I'll be last in the queue and then walking down and all that. In fact, I remember just before I became made a trustee, I remember I was walking, one of my doctor friends from, and the profession, they see me as a big doctor and all, you know. So one of my doctors from Tamil Nadu, Swami, and he said, sir, you are going in the queue. So I said, what do you mean you are going in the queue? Everybody goes in the queue. What do you expect? This is common for everyone, you know. So I go, when I go to Shabarimala, I'll say, I go in the queue only. I don't break the queue and go. This is how it is. Sir, you should be sitting in the veranda, he said. I said, veranda? No veranda and all for me. I like this, you know, I'll go in this and all that. So I was going to that. Suddenly one day I got a call saying that, you know, they are offering to make you a trustee of the Tamil Nadu Trust. So for a moment I panicked. Now what does it mean, you know, being a trustee and of the Tamil Nadu Trust?
We had no inkling of that.
And second thing is that, you know, how much work, that's what I'm worried about. Now there is all my multivarious activities, I'll have time for it. But the moment
your institutions had expanded so much.
Oh, they're already expanding. Not as much as now, but beginning to expand. There's actually expansion phase. So I was wondering, and my wife had already lived that many years. And we were actually in a nice set thing before her illness came back. You know, that was the stage when this came. And I was telling you this incident after the trustee thing, like the convener thing came. So they made me a trustee, and it was a great thing, you know. So then the letter itself came from the secretary saying that Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba is appointing you as a trustee and so on. So I got that, I was highly thrilled. I said, this is something very great. And of course, it also gave me a chance to get closer to Swami. Because then you go onto the veranda, as that man had told, then at least you can talk to Swami, and otherwise you're in the distance. You know, those things were very good. Of course, with that comes responsibility. Then, about 2 years after that, the convener of the trust, Sri J. K. Raman, died here in Puttaparthi. And then this post was kept vacant for some time. And I was one of the junior members of the trust. There were people who were much senior to me in age. So I thought, you know, one of the senior people or some new person will come, and I didn't know how the system worked. And actually the state president and even the All India president actually talked to Swami and said, you know, this position, convener of the trust, is vacant now, Swami, and I'll tell you, he said. He didn't think. Then again, after a few weeks, they went to him and said, Swami, lots of checks and things accumulating in the Tamil Nadu trust. Because the convener has to do everything. There's no convener of the trust. Can you think? No, I'll tell you. You wait, he said. And all the time, I had been taking non-veg food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And around that time, my wife's illness came back. In fact, the first time when I gave up that alcohol, also when Swami said, that was the time her illness also came. It almost coincided with that, the first time, 94. That's when I gave up alcohol. I used to take occasionally, not that it is a regular thing. But it's take occasionally, and that 94 I gave that up. Swami also said that, then an illness also came, both the link, okay, given up alcohol. I had come on one of these trips to Puttaparthi on one of my trips here, and when I was going, I took a book from the bookshop. It was called Swami and Food or something like that. So I took it on the way to the airport, I was just reading, and I just opened the one page of that book, and in that it's written, I have done so many things for you. All your wishes I have fulfilled. In return, I have asked you, it's a paragraph, you know, as if it's addressed to me, you know, saying that, and in return, I asked you for one thing, to become vegetarian. And you have not done so. And you give an excuse saying, and that's what exactly what I used to say, that there's not enough proteins in vegetarian food. So there's not enough protein. I entirely disagree with you. Protein is found in vegetarian food in this.
Swami is telling this.
It's in some discourse. Yes. Somewhere he has said, and I'm opening the page and reading it as if it's for me, you know. So I go home and tell my wife and think, Swami's thing is read like this.
It's
you know?
So clear he's telling me.
So clear. I have asked you and all he's telling, you know. And this is a time when this thing has happened also. J.K. Raman's thing has happened and then there's no convener also for that. And I'm still taking non-veg food, okay. So, I read this and around that time, a week or so after that, my wife's illness came back. This is October 2007, okay? Her illness came back. And we knew it's secondaries which have come. It's just much more serious than the first one. So, we are all shattered by that time. And that's the time when I read this also. The first time I gave up alcohol. So, I told my wife, I'm going to give up non-veg completely. I'm going to become vegetarian, okay? Swami's words are like this, and so on. She said, I'll also become vegetarian. So we both became vegetarian. Till the end, till she died, she was vegetarian. I'm still a vegetarian now. Last 6 years, I've been a vegetarian. So I became vegetarian, and this must be November something, okay, of 2007. So September, I think, J.K. Raman died. And then this is 2 months later. And 2 months is no convener, okay? 2 months later, November, I get a call. Just after I became vegetarian, maybe 3-4 days later. Okay. I was in the puja room doing my 1008 names. So I finished that and I just came out. I get a call from the All India president and he says, I've just come out of Swami's room and Swami has asked me to ask you whether you would be able to be the convener of the Satya Sai Trust. He's a busy man and he travels a lot and all that. So ask him whether he is willing to be the convener of the Satya Sai Trust. So he's telling me on the phone, and my wife is standing next to me, and I'm on the phone and saying, sir, convener, sir. I'm saying, so yeah, just come out of Swami's room. I'll have to go back and tell him now. So tell me whether, you know, you will accept. Swami said to ask you whether you will accept to be the convener. So I said, oh, convener, sir. I said, no, sir, because what else responsibility is going to come, you know? How much more responsibility is going to come on this, you know? That's my first fear.
Yes.
And my wife says,
say yes.
So I said, yes, sir. I'll accept it. Yes, sir. Oh, thank you. Then I'll go back to Swami and tell. He said. Then I put the phone down. And then he goes back to Swami and says, yes, Dr. Mohan has said yes, so we'll make him the convener. Then the moment I put down the phone, my wife says, don't you realize it's bigger than a Nobel Prize? She says. So I said, what Nobel Prize? Why are you comparing this with Nobel Prize? You know, what does this do with Nobel Prize? This is convener of the Satya Sai Trust. She said, can't you think for a moment what this means? So I said, what? I'm not able to think, no. She says, who appoints the chief minister of a state? Some people, okay. Who appoints a president? Some people. Who appoints a prime minister of India? Some people. Who gives the Nobel Prize? Some committee sitting there decides to give the Nobel Prize. Who has appointed you? God has appointed you. Which is bigger, Nobel Prize or this? Oh my God, I never thought of this way. I said, why are you even hesitating? I never hesitated. It came as a shock. So I'm on the line and she's saying, yes, she's saying. So I also said, yes. Then only I realized, that's why in all my CV, you know, when I come for any Sai thing, after everything I'll say, but I consider this position given to me as the greatest honor of my life. I remember my wife's words. It's true, no? When you're appointed by God himself, what more? I mean, what other award? What Nobel Prize? Nothing. It's all pales in comparison. So I think that's the greatest honor. And that came, and he was waiting for me to become vegetarian. For that, first the book, then the thing. Then finally, the moment I become vegetarian, okay. No, and she's waiting. We'll wait, he says. They're going and asking him. You know, he's already selected me, but he's not saying it until I become vegetarian.
Then that journey with Swami and the refinement.
My gosh.
He's a continuous guru.
Yeah. My God.
Constantly, relentlessly seeing on how you're taking the next step. Yes. Take the next step.
Yeah. And giving you time, you know. He's not rushing you. He's giving you time. He's preparing you.
Preparing
he's,
you.
How he's preparing. His master plan, how he puts it together. It is something which continues to amaze me even now. Things happen like that.
When you sit down and then look back at your life, I think when you start reflecting, then only you
realize that he has been there every time. That's why I say in my childhood also he's been there.
Yes.
All that I never realized until, oh my gosh, it was him. It was him. There's a march of time. That was also him. Everything was him.
You find out more and more.
Yeah, and he had planned all that right then, but so late the realization came. And so
he was there all the time.
Yeah.
Before we conclude, I just want to ask you, you mentioned earlier about that Muslim gentleman.
Yes.
How Bhagwan...
The pain.
Yeah. You were able to sort of pray to Bhagwan, invoke his blessings and help him get over his pain. And you placed your
ring.
Yes. On his forehead. So tell us the story about the ring.
Okay. This ring was actually not given to me by Swami. Okay. It was given to me by Srinivas Chettiar of the Paduka Trust, Anandanilayam, Madurai. One day, when he was my patient, and he came, and so one day he came to my room, and I told him I'm going to US next week. He asked me next week, I know I'm going to US. He went out, came back, and he said, Doctor, something when you said that US trip, something worried me. Okay, I don't know what it is, but something worried me. So I have this ring given by Swami. Can I give it to you? It's a materialized ring. It was materialized by him.
Oh, he gave it to you?
He gave it to me. He had many. He had so many things he had materialized. So he said, somehow I felt that you need this. Because he's already wearing a lot of rings and all. So he said, this ring, I'll give it to you, but you must wear it all the time. Okay? Don't take it out. Something tells me that you need Swami's protection, so you wear it. From that day, I've been wearing this ring. Okay? Then this Muslim gentleman's episode happened. After that in the interview, I've even spoken about this in front of Swami. But after that in the interview, when I actually met Swami, and I told him, Rumba Swami, in that in that speech, I talked about one incident and this ring. Now the thing is that such instances may come again in the future. So one request to you, Swami. I want you to bless this ring, I said. So he took his hand, and said, he put his hand on the ring, he blessed it, and he said, use it for good purposes, he said. I said, always, Swami. When I get stuck in my profession, I will use it, Swami. And that's why I want you to bless it. But I don't know any other way to reach out to you than through this. He blessed it. Story doesn't end there. Few months after that, Srinivas Chettiar goes for an interview with Swami. And Swami tells him, I gave you one ring, no? What happened to that ring?
Oh my God.
Several months later. Okay, so this ring. See, he has kept it and he knows which is the ring he has given, and he remembers which ring he has given to your home. Then he said, yeah, Swami, that ring I gave away. Okay, have another one, he says. And he produces an identical ring and gives it to him. Okay, identical one, another one. He gives it to him. And this you keep, he says, and he gives it to him. It just shows his omniscience. He knows everything about everybody. In the interview room, he told me, he looked at the other two rings and he said, this is your wedding ring and this is your anniversary ring, he said. So, just to say that I know all about you, what you wear, what you think, everything I know about you. You don't have to tell me anything. So, his omniscience, so many times we know. His omnipresence, after the physical form, we are now seeing the other Swarupa now. So, we are able to see his presence in so many ways, in so many places in the world, So that omnipresence in Ooty, in Sundaram, wherever we go, we are able to see his omnipresence. And then of course his omnipotence is all the curing that he does and all his power is limitless power. So all the three, the omniscience, omnipotence and the omnipresence, all the three constantly we are reminded one after the other that it is there. And these are three most important attributes of a God, when you say, And if that God, living God, has these three attributes, and if we have had the good fortune to have been near that avatar and to have darshan, sparshan, samakshan with this avatar, I think we are really blessed. And I don't think more than that, anything more in life can be more satisfying than that.
Finally, I just want to ask you, you had this greatest honor of being appointed by God to be the convener. And you had the chance also to be in that position. And you, of course, continue to be in that position, but till Bhagwan's physical form was there, you were in that position and you had all the blessings and the opportunities that that position gave you. How was it when you heard the news of April 2011?
I was here.
You were here?
I was here. I came, you know, the day my wife died. My wife died 30 days before that.
And Swami had told you she's going to be with you till you need her.
Till you need her. So 17 years he gave. And then the day she died, almost same day, same time, was Swami's last physical darshan, 25th of March. I think around 8:45 I hear he finished his last darshan, bid goodbye. 9 o'clock she died, 15 minutes after that. In Chennai she died. Same date, okay. So 25th March, so you cannot forget. That's his last darshan, that's her, she died at it. When she died, my only thing was that I'll be able to come and tell Swami that, you know. Swami, my wife is... And then, you know, he'll say, don't worry, she's with me. That's what I want to hear. But 3 days later, he was taken to hospital. So I never got a chance in his physical form to tell him. Okay. Then all my wife, 30 days before that, you know, then he was in hospital and I came couple of times. Then they said, you know, too many visitors and all, we don't know. I forced myself and gone. Then I said, no, I won't go into the hospital. I just used to come here, and then couple of times I came in within the 30 days after the rituals, my wife said, I came again. And then again I came. Then when I heard towards the end that, you know, things are thing, I said, I'm going to come and stay here. So I came 2-3 days before that itself. Before, I think, 21st April, I landed here. And I said, I'm just going to stay here, you know, for a few days. And then 24th April, when the announcement came, actually, when my wife died, I didn't cry that much. Because we knew, you know, for a long time, and she was preparing us, Swami had prepared us, and so it's a long, drawn-out thing. So although it hurt a lot, and we didn't kind of break down emotionally at that time. But with Swami, first of all the news, and then, you know, sitting by the casket, you know, we were given duty to sit there as trust conveners and state presidents. We had to actually sit there. Those are the most painful days of my life, ever, whole life. And then, on that day, when it was being, you know, physically lifted and thing, something broke. Something broke. Really. Stuff. But from the organization side, it only increased because I felt more responsible. I felt that, because many people in the organization felt that, you know, now that he is not there, whom are we going to report to? What are we going to... I know some people felt like that. But for me, it was the opposite, because I felt that now the responsibility is much more. You know, he has given us the responsibility and said, now you carry forward my mission. I have told you all I have to tell you over these years. Now let's see how you all are going to take it. So I felt I should give more and more to the organization. So I actually started coming more often, doing more of his work. So I feel that, and now when I travel extensively in the world, and because I come here and I'm Tamil Nadu trustee and all that, people ask questions. How is the trust doing? How is the thing? How are things in Puttaparthi? So I feel I can be a small spokesman, you know, to tell at least those who ask, everything is fine and you should be doing more. You should be coming more often to Puttaparthi. People say, there's a vacuum there now. I said, there's no vacuum. That's only if you think that there's a vacuum, you know. Once they asked Swami, between the Krishna avatar and your avatar, where were you? He said, I didn't go anywhere. You thought I went away. I was there all along. You know, I cannot be only coming for some time and going away sometime. I'll come in different forms, but doesn't mean that you're only limiting yourself to my physical form. That's a mistake that you're making. So that way, he is there all the time. His omniscience is there all the time. Omnipresence is there all the time.
And you're feeling that more and more.
Oh, definitely. And we're seeing it more and more. I think the manifestations have actually increased after the physical form has gone. And we're able to see that. If you pray to him any time, we get it. But actually, if you look at it, even when the physical form was there, most of the incidents that I have described is not when he is next to me, no.
Correct.
It's not I'm sitting next to him and he's doing something for me, no.
Yes. It's only the prayer.
I can still pray, no?
Yes.
I can still pray to him. Why should I not pray to him now, and what's different? Nothing is different. Except that if I had a personal thing to come and tell him, Swami, can I do this? He will say yes or no in that thing. I would put it to you, how long do we expect our children to ask us? See, even now when my daughter asks me, my daughter is grown up, sometimes she asks me, Papa, shall I do this? I said, you take the decision now, you know. Because your Papa won't be there all the time to tell you that, you know. So I want to see you take your own decision. So you take it. Don't even ask me. Maybe right or wrong. Doesn't matter. If it's wrong, you'll learn it that way. But you have to depend on me every time. You're not going to grow up, you know. That's exactly the same thing with Swami. He has his institutions, he has the trustees, he has all the committees, he has the organization, he has all the directors of various institutes, he has vice chancellors, he has chancellor, he has everyone. Everyone, if they just do their duty according to what Swami has said, he'll be so happy to see that his mission is going on, isn't it?
When the physical form was there, in every discourse, every other time he said, God is in you, around you.
Exactly, with you, around you.
But somehow
you.
We always run to put him.
Exactly. We want that last thing to be thrown. At some point he cut the umbilical cord.
And but now said, you have to feel that God is in you.
Exactly.
And you have to experience.
And you have to do what he expected you to do and carry on his mission. That I think is very important. That's been a tough learning lesson, but like all Swami's lessons, some of them aren't tough. Nothing comes easy with Swami.
Yes, sir.
He is a tough taskmaster.
Yes.
We know that.
And I think as someone was saying, with Bhagavan, there are always tests.
Yeah, always.
Always.
And you have to pass them.
Yep.
And then you go from one level to the next level. He says any degree earned without a proper test is not worth that degree, you know.
Yes.
So each time in life, also, it's not that if you're a Sai devotee, you'll never have any tribulations in life. You're a bed of roses after that. Never. Never in human history, man just went like that on a bed of roses. You may think like that. Yes. Sitting here, I'll think, oh, he's got such a, you know, happy life. He has. If I see your problem, then only I'll know. Yes. Sitting across, you'll think, ah, Mohan has got, intuition has got, everything. If you see the problems I have, then only you'll know.
Yeah.
So each one has their own. It's to be contented with what we have.
Yes.
And then pray to him when we are not able to take it. You know, at that time, we have to always wait him. Intensify the prayer when you really need his help, and he comes running.
Yes.
He'll immediately open those to you, and he'll show that you're there.
Whatever it is, I mean, God, his only intention is that we become happy.
Exactly.
We learn to live
exactly.
happily.
Exactly. God is never cruel. People say fate is cruel. How can God be so cruel? How can God be this? It's because we don't understand. It's through Maya, the illusion. Why would an all-merciful God be cruel? It doesn't make any sense.
In fact, Bhagavan once said the word called hatred is not there in his dictionary. Because he's just all love.
And you know, some people say he's angry with me. He doesn't. He says it's all a show. Just to correct you, I'm the repair shop, you know. He'll say, I'm putting you in the repair shop to get repaired. So those things, sometimes it's difficult as human beings to. But then the more we have experiences and the more we realize that, there is a reason for him doing this. This is why he has done that. That is what he meant when he said this, you know. So it all comes back. And I think everybody should read his, either his discourses or Satya Sai Speaks or something on a daily basis. We read Sai literature.
On Radio Sai also, we are playing his discourses. We have a discourse stream.
Yes, exactly.
So that
exactly. And you know what? People have a doubt in a particular morning, no? And they'll hear that particular line will be for them.
Yeah.
It's like my opening my food thing and the vegetarian thing. There are so many things in that. Why should that line come to me and change my life, you know, and then become... But that's his way of doing things. And that's divinity.
Absolutely.
For each person... See, just look at it this way. The darshan hall, 10,000 people are sitting on a birthday day, okay? Swami just goes through a few things. He doesn't meet everyone. But everyone sitting there goes satisfied. How? Oh, Swami looked at me. Swami said this. Swami said that. That is divinity. Can we do that? Can we look at 100 people and say, I find it a problem even when I'm walking out of the darshan line, 10 people talk to me. I don't know who to talk to. If I talk to one guy, the other guy will think I'm neglecting him. Swami has never been, he's always been able to satisfy everyone, no?
Yes.
So, that is divinity.
That is.
He has 1,000 eyes. He has 1,000 things. Simultaneously, he can satisfy everyone in the world. That only an avatar can do.
Only an avatar.
We cannot do all that.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much. It's really been a very enlightening session. And I know there is still so much that we can discuss about Bhagwan, to his leelas and his manifestations of his grace, to how he has directed us about healthy lifestyle and healthy living. So maybe whenever there is another opportunity, we will, by his grace, sit down and discuss more about his work, his love and his message. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure to have a satsang about Swami. I consider this as a satsang, and I've tried to, as truthfully as possible, as my memory has gone back so many years, there could be little errors, but it's whatever I've said, I've tried to say
it as straight from the heart.
Straight from the heart and as truthfully as possible. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises, and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970 when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a movie or a video, mm-hmm. right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love All, Serve All. We've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, Love All, Serve All. We put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Dressed with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Dressed with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. Or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/trist. That is radiosai.org/TRYST or trist. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You just heard part 4 of our Trist with Divinity interview with the internationally renowned diabetologist Dr. V. Mohan of Chennai. What an honest and candid conversation that was. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Meanwhile, your thoughts, suggestions and comments are most welcome by email at listener@radiosai.org. And thank you so much for your company on Morning Glory Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam on the 22nd of May 2014, where the time right now is 21 minutes past 10 a.m. Dear listeners, last week on Morning Glory, we celebrated the second anniversary of Thursday Live. And you heard from all except two of our RJs who are involved in this program called Thursday Live. Dear sisters and brothers, the sole idea behind the move is to bring you the peace and serenity of the ashram right into your hearts and your homes and your offices, wherever you are. And of course, our listeners, as you might have guessed, are spread all over India and all over the world. Now, as we offer this initiative at Baba's lotus feet, we are trying to please the Sai in each one of you, our precious listeners. That means our Live Thursday initiative is only geared to keep you intensely connected to the sacred vibe of Prashanthi Nilayam. At Radio Sai, we really value your company and we want to do what it takes to keep you inspired and joyful throughout the day. That is our way of thanking Baba for giving us this chance to be a part of his radio, God's very own radio station, that is Radio Sai. So please, please do tell us what is it that you want to hear more of in our live hosting of Thursday programs and what is it that you want to hear less of. It is your feedback that will shape our efforts to create a live connection between you and Prashanthi Nilayam. So please rest assured that we give our full attention to all feedback that we receive from you and we always attempt to incorporate your suggestions into our efforts. So go ahead and write to us that email that is in your mind and you haven't put it into words because the entire Thursday Live team is looking forward to your thoughts, comments and feedback. Our aim is to keep you in that zone, that Sai zone where you feel a live wire connection to Baba and Prashanthi Nilayam and to his teachings. And I hope by now you realize why your feedback is so important. Now here is something I'd like to share with you for your kind consideration. I read it in the internet. there are three ways to build trust and is taken from the little book with 50 big ideas on leadership by Glenn Furuya. Glenn Furuya says in this book, the little book with 50 big ideas on leadership, that there are three words that end in the letters RITY, that is R-I-T-Y, which form the basis for trust. The first word that ends with RITY is charity. The second is clarity. And the third is integrity. Now let me explain what this person means, what Glenn Furuya means by charity. Charity is an essential component to good leadership. People will trust you when they feel you're selfless, giving ways. With charity, they trust your heart. Next is clarity. Clarity will help them to trust your head because people trust leaders who provide a clear vision, relevant instructions, and good information. So with charity, people learn to trust your selflessness and your heart. With clarity, they appreciate your clear vision and they trust your head. And finally, the third RITY is integrity. People trust leaders who walk their talk, live their beliefs, and keep their promises. With integrity, they trust your character and your word. So it's time for each of us, in our own little domains, in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, we have to check which of these three RITYs we need to work more on. Clarity, charity, or integrity. Charity, for our team to trust our heart. Clarity, for our team to trust our head. And integrity, for the team to trust our character and our word. Isn't that so interesting? Now with that, it is time for me to play for you today's episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Under the spotlight today is Mr. Venkatraman Krishnamurthy, an alumnus of the Sai University, and he's in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti of Radio Sai. Please enjoy.
So I left that day and I slept over, saying that I will wait for further experiences, but I think I have not come here. I have been drawn here. And I now know what that sentence means. And I slept that night with that thought.
Wonderful. So you longed for more experiences.
Yeah, obviously. And see, Swami is a magnetic personality. If you look at your entire perspective, if you look at the hostel, if you look at the institute and the way, you know, Swami is, apart from being God that he is such a big man manager. He is such a great administrator. I do not know, and I don't think there are personalities like Bhagwan Sri Sat Sai Baba who have touched people's life in so much in plenty. The vast expanse of humanity that has been touched by Bhagwan till date, until he remained in this body, even today when he is not there. There is no one who has been that magnanimous and there is no one who has been that, you know, effective. So, you know, my first aarti of Swami happened to be on Ganesh Chaturthi day, you know, when we used to... I remember, Prushti, you and me both were there as we carried the Ganesha to the Prashanti Mandir. And I was not even the aarti boy for that day.
Mm-hmm.
There was someone who had finished his aarti and Swami called me again and said, you do aarti.
Wow.
And I did aarti. Only later, I connected again, saying that Baba Ganesh, Siddhartha Ganesh was formed the basis of my earlier spiritual life, and he had been my friend to whom I always spoke to. And this was my first festival in Puttaparthi. And he called me and said, you do aarti. And that again I connected later. This is again a sign of his omnipresence. And by this time, I was fully convinced that this is omnipresence in absolute pure form. And I am not new to him. He knows me right through and through. I need to know the connect, that's all. And this strengthened my resolve in him. And finally, Prushti, after Ganesh Chaturthi, I was able to blend all other forms with him. And I finally called him Swami.
So it took 2-3 months.
3 months to blend it from
calling Swami to Sir
to Baba and then to Swami.
Yes.
That period of 3 months helped me amalgamate Swami's form with everything, and I told him that you are now everything to me. And that admission happened after Ganesh Chaturthi.
Wow. So this whole first 3 months was sort of so much of soul searching, so much of inquiry, so much of understanding what is happening around.
Correct. And in the hostel when people used to say Bhagwan, I never understood. I said, why are you addressing him as Bhagwan? I have asked that to people. And after Ganesh Chaturthi, I never asked. Because I said, in my own small dramas that I participated or my own speeches in the hostel, I myself referred to him as Bhagwan or Swami. So from Ganesh Chaturthi, I never asked that question to anybody. So I guess I blended fully into the Sai way of life from that time.
Wow, wonderful. So Ganesha was there all the time with
you. All the time with me.
Waiting for the right moment to strike.
Correct.
And look at the time he chose. He chose on his birthday for your new birthday. I mean, there is a new birth for you that happened,
correct,
you know, a new journey in life. And
correct,
Ganesha chose that day for a new sort of chapter to open in your life.
See, Purushi, Swami is a perfect planner. You know, he does things in the way it is so well effective on you. If you study Swami's personality, you know, he's perfect in everything, the way he plans. I don't know, so instantaneously he said, you also do.
Yes.
You know, later I understand what that means.
Absolutely.
So every action, you know, when Swami in one of the 3 days, when in the last days, he said that every action of mine cannot be understood.
Absolutely.
It has to be experienced. And that experience will happen at an opportunate time.
Yes.
So,
and always it has so many dimensions, like for anyone else who was watching, and they would not know anything that is happening.
Correct.
You know, it would just be that, okay, Swami for some reason just asked another person to take Aarti, but you don't know in how many dimensions the Lord is working all
absolutely
the time.
Absolutely, and it is only known to you and him when
yes
that when that act
and
is
happening.
And
sometimes you don't even know at that time.
Correct.
At that point in time.
One of the biggest experiences that happened to me, Pushti, was when Swami revealed that he plans your life, and he plans your life in such a way that you never will ever have ever even attempted to know, or you never even gauge as to how he will change your life. This happened, Prashti, in the second year of when we had graduated, and we were all waiting for Swami's permission. At that point in time, it was in Sai Ramesh Hall, Swami announced that he will start the summer course.
Yes.
During our batch. And at that point of time, when I was getting ready for the summer course, my father called me and he said, "Beta, I need you here very urgently. Please leave." I said, "What happened?" "Malta, your mother has been in hospital for the last 20 days because of acute pneumonia. And we thought she was lucky to survive. You know, because of your exam, she said, don't tell him. Now she is coming back from the hospital. But I have to leave for Rourkela, Orissa. Because my father's sister, so we call it Chachi, you know.
Yes.
Her husband was diagnosed with liver cancer. And normally liver cancer happens to people who drink. But my chacha never drank. It is actually also a case, it's called liver cirrhosis. And it happens for incomplete cure of jaundice, which has been done in the childhood, that has not been fully treated. So it manifests later in life as liver cancer. So he got liver cirrhosis, and my father said, I have to leave, because he will pass away any moment, and I have my duties to my sister. There is nobody here. Your mother is just coming back from hospital. She will have to attend to her. So please rush immediately. So I said, I haven't even told Swami that I'm leaving. So he said, so say it. Please talk to Swami and then decide how it has to happen. So that was discussion in the afternoon. And in the evening, I happened to come across to Swami when he was talking in Trai. And I held Swami's hand. I said, Swami, I have to leave. So he then came close to me and said, Yemi, what? I said, Swami, I have to leave. What? And I said, Swami, I have to leave. So he said, Artham kavatledu, I'm not understanding. And he said, you sit, we'll talk. And he just left. I was just holding Swami's hand until he said, and I said, wait, we'll talk. And he just went inside. So this is very unclear, the way Swami said. I couldn't talk to him, I couldn't take his permission. And he just left, and behind Chiran Basnet was sitting, and he says, yeah, you were asking something very pertinent, but the way Swami replied, I think he is asking you to stay back. So I said, yeah, I can't stay back, Chiran. My father has called me. There is a serious situation at home. So I said, boss, you don't look at anything. If he is saying don't leave, don't leave. I said, how do I know he is telling me don't leave? He didn't say anything. So he said, do one thing. Plan something to give a letter to Swami tomorrow. And maybe you should ask for a birthday plate so that you get a place in front. Tell him directly and do whatever he says. Don't leave in this uncertainty. It's bad. I said, theek hai. I wrote a letter to Swami that night and I said, Swami, I did not understand what you said very clearly. So I am coming tomorrow with this, so please be clear and tell me what has to be done. This is exactly the words I wrote. Next day morning I went to Warden Sir, Narasimhamurthy Garu was there, and I said, sir, I want a birthday slip. So he says, your birthday? I kept quiet because it was not my birthday and yes. I didn't want to lie. So immediately some other boy came and he said, sir, maako birthday slip. So he says, your birthday? He said, yes. And some phone call came for sir. He attended to him. And that was going long, so he told somebody on the side, these two boys give birthday slip.
Okay.
So, Swami saved me from telling nothing yes. wrong there. So, I went with the slip, I had that letter. And Swami came that day, he was dancing like a swan. He was so nice, so beautiful, you know, smiling face of Swami. And I said, today I will get my answer, his mood is good. So, he walked all around, went up to the Saraswati idol. And as he came, I was sitting in the front. So, as he came towards me, I saw the color of Swami's face change. His whole face changed. From a smiling face, he became very serious.
Oh my God.
And even before he came to me, he had created Vibhuti and he threw it on my plate and he said, send this, you will not go. And he got stunned. I said, he hasn't even read what I...
You didn't even give your letter.
I couldn't even. From that distance, it is the distance between you and me. He just threw Vibhuti on my plate. And he said, Ni ekada kuda povaledu, ikkade kuchundi. You send this Vibhuti and you will not go. So I got up, Swami, my parents warned me. He said, Tantan niko. He said, if you leave this place, if you leave this place, jagrada. He said like this.
Be careful.
And, I was looking at him, he just took my letter from my plate and left. The moment he turned his face from me, he was again smiling at other people. So, I said, the original mood was back. And that time, Bhagyasar was sitting behind me. And he says, you will not leave. Be very clear. You are not going from here. I said, sir, lekin main aise, in this situation, what do I do? He says, forget everything. Leave it to him. You will not leave. Very clear. Look at the way he said it. And look at his face expression and look at the tone in which he said, you will not leave. So I said, okay. And I called up my father and I said, Papa, I can't come. He got a little upset with me. He says, ki, you are not trying to understand the situation here. But I said, Papa, I asked Swami. He has said, you stay with me here. You are not going. So then he said, okay, so you have decided you are not coming. On the other phone, he called my grandmother. And he said, you please come here. And he told me, he was a little angry at that. He says, you are being very irresponsible. Anyway, you don't come, I will manage it. So he hung the phone, my grandmother came in to look after my mother and my sister, and my father went to Rourkela to look after my chacha. On the same day, Swami had called all of us to Sai Krishna Hall for food.
Yes.
You remember our batch, 11:30 he called. So when he said, you go and send this, I took a cover, wrote my chachi's Rourkela address and I sent the Vibhuti. And by the time I had come, Swami had assembled everybody. And I didn't know where to sit because the hall was full, everybody was sitting. And from that distance where Swami is sitting, when I came through the door, and he kept looking at me, and his eyes just moved to a place which was empty, indicating to me, you take a place there.
Yes.
So I immediately went. Well, that is the communication that Swami has with you. Only you will know what is the communication and how he is trying to say. So I sat down, and at that time when Swami said, put food to everybody, Swami also ate. And Swami eats very less, so he got up and then after his food, he washed his hand and he was walking among everyone. And when he came towards me, he asked me, you don't like Karela Bhaji? So I said, no, I like. So he said, take. So I ate. And see, if you don't
Karela
like...
Karela is bitter gourd.
It's bitter gourd. So when you don't like something, either you don't take it or if it's there, you finish it first. So that it's off your mind.
Yes.
So when Swami moved and then he came back, he says, you have eaten? You like it so much. You can't tell Swami I don't like. I said, Swami, you're prasadam, Swami. Inka kuda tisko. Take some more.
Okay.
So he bought some boys and said, you put some for him. Second round also, I took like that. Again, third round, he went and came back. So much you like, you never told. And then
he put
it again.
So every time it's served and you're finishing it and Swami is asking.
I was just finishing and Swami is asking for it. So again, a leela of Swami, you never understand. And then the fourth time he came, some more? And I did like this. I caught my ears and I said, Swami, whatever you want. So he called the boy and ultimately I understood there was bundi in that.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yes.
So he put that. He said, now this. Take. So when I ate and he looked at me and he said, both bitter and sweet is prasadam. When I give something, If you take it as prasada bhavam, even if it is bitter experience, once you take it as prasada bhavam, it is easy for you to digest. And then I lost it. He just said that before me, and by the time he completed the sentence, he was gone. Swami says something and leaving you to digest it. For a moment, I lost it. I said, it is this food or this magnificence of food that you are giving, in there also, Swami, there is some teaching in life that has to be digested.
Oh my God. It's so phenomenal that whatever comes to your life, there could be pains in the form of bitter God, or there could be pleasures and happiness in the form of the sweet. You have to take everything with the feeling of prasadam. And everything is God's.
Correct. So when Swami said, take it, is my prasadam, I ate it, no? Yes. Otherwise, I would have wasted it.
Yes.
So that time I understood, Swami, you are trying to tell me that every event in your life happens by your will. And if it is bitter or if it is sweet, I have to take it as your prasadam.
Yes.
That became a part of parcel of my personality from that day. And wow. I still ruminate over that. You know, sometimes in life experiences you don't expect. Sometimes things are too bitter.
Yes.
Sometimes you ask Swami, what is all this?
Yes.
But I again remember that instance and I stop questioning him. That day itself, you have given me that experience that it is my prasadam. Don't worry.
That is the whole of Bhagavad Gita condensed to you in that one incident.
Correct. Correct. It is absolutely that, Pushti, and I remain thankful to him for, Pushti, it is like this, those 2 years that I have spent with Bhagwan is enough for me to lead my entire life. Because my entire life's learning, he packed it in those 2 years.
Absolutely.
In just 6 or 7 interactions.
Yes, absolutely.
So that happened.
I mean, all that is absolutely necessary for you in your life
is that
was packaged through beautiful instances created just to drive home this lesson so that it remains in you, in your mind all the time.
Absolutely.
I think that is the greatest thing of having an avatar, right?
Actually, Prushti, it didn't end there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought what he wanted to teach me ended. Then after 2 months, on 27th of May, I still remember the date, when Swami said that all boys who have passed out should assemble behind at the Trayi and I will give Pad Namaskar. He sent word through Warden Sir.
Yes.
So we went. And when Swami was coming towards me, I thought, should I ask him now? Can I go? So, as I took Pad Namaskar and I looked up, Swami was looking towards me and he asked me, anything you want? I said, no, Swami. And then he patted me on the back like this and he left. And after Pad Namaskar was given, when Swami was going back to Trayi, boys got up. But suddenly he came out and the boys assembled back again. And he started walking back towards the Sai Ramesh Hall. And as he walked towards it, he turned his head on the right and he said, hey boy, you are still here? You didn't go. So I indicated to Swami that he is talking to me. He says, yes, you. You didn't go. So I said, no, Swami. And I went towards him and I said, Swami, you only told me stay back. You told me you will beat me if I go. So he said, but I told you to go. Didn't I tell you? I said, no, Swami, you did not tell me. And then he kept quiet for some time. And then he said, Ippudu nipo, now you go. And then I said, Swami, see, all the time when I wanted to go, he was not allowing. But now that he said go, I suddenly felt, Swami, abhi jane ka man nahi karta.
You don't feel like going.
I didn't feel like going. So, and I caught hold of his...
Like feet. At that time, you really wanted to go because there was a need in the family.
Family.
But that is sort of past now.
No, not only that, I realized suddenly that if I leave now, this is possibly my last time I'm staying with Swami as a student.
Yes.
That hurt me and I held on to Swami and I said, Swami,
how many more days you can experience you want to be
there?
That
is what you do. So yes. I said, Swami, I don't know whether and then I held on to him. Then he said, Neenu bandhistu nava, you're trying to bind me. So, and I just looked at him, he says, me, no binding. I bind this whole sansara.
Oh, Swami told that.
And he says, you are trying to bind me? Kadu, it cannot happen. Then I again caught hold of my ears and sorry, Shaminchu Swami. And then he said, why did I ask you to stay back? So I said, Swami, I am thinking now of the same thing. Why did you ask me to stay back? So he said, Neek, ye bhi nakshatram ho. I said, Swami, I have to ask my parents and tell you. And he started laughing.
Which is your nakshatram?
Nakshatram, the birth star.
Yes.
And he said, Antaryami nenu, you don't have to ask and tell. I will tell you. He said, Neeku Bharani nakshatram ho. You are the Bharani star. That is your main star. And he says, till the last 2 months, there are 5 stars who are actually in one constellation. And Bharani was in the middle. There was so much of negativity that had you left this ashram and gone, two things would have happened. Either you would have died or you would have been a rotten tomato. That word he used, and he says it is paralytic throughout life. I did not want that. Today, that constellation has been removed. I have changed it. Now, if you leave, that phase in which your life is on danger is gone. He says, you also don't know. Sarpadosha was there in your horoscope, because of which your lifespan is only up to that day, the day I told you to stay back. Whatever life you live from now on, it is my extension. He kept his hand in Chinmudra like this, and he says, Nenu extension istunnav. I have given you extension. When he said that, the entire world around me collapsed. I didn't know what was happening. And he suddenly said, parents thoda became little worried. Short-term grief instead of long-term despair. See the word he used also, short-term grief thiya instead of long-term despair. Chala mandi expectation kada, yes, they have lot of expectation. So, temporary manipulation has to be done by me. And I said, Swami, extension? He said, yes, extension. He says, don't think how long you will live. I have written it. That day and time will come when you have to leave this earth. But till that time, don't forget, the extended time. Life given by Swami's grace. Life of grace. Then I fell at his feet and I said, Swami, abhi to aur bhi nahi man karta. I don't want to go now. So he says, Yemi, why you are saying like this? You go. You are not going. I am coming with you, ra. Antanay. I am always with you.
In you, around you.
Up you, above, below, around you. I am always there. Where am I going? Then I said, Swami, no. And I held on to his feet. And I said, Swami, nahi. He said, leave me. I said, no, Swami. I said, leave me. I said, Swami, no, Swami. Hey, I am telling you, nobody can bind me. And he said, you know, she also tried to bind me. I said, Swami, who? Well, the Yashoda, she tried to bind me on that tree, but she could not until I willed. And he says, you cannot bind me. I bind everybody. Then I still didn't leave him. And suddenly I found something falling. And then Swami suddenly said, oh, Pavam, professor has fallen. Somebody is helping him. One of the professors had fallen with that tray of mangoes and I immediately left to help him. And there was only one mango which was fallen. And there was a tray. I said, sir, only one mango. He says, suddenly I don't know what happened, beta. This had the weight of 20 mangoes. I couldn't hold it, so it fell. So I said, now you are safe. Okay, no, sir. You hold this. And the moment I turned, Swami had already gone. And I said, where is he? And then suddenly I saw, he was already behind that Sai Ramesh Hall door, no, from where he was. And then standing there, he is moving his hands like this. And he said, Natana Sutradhari Neno, nobody can bind me. Anta Maya create chesu now. And then he opened the door and he shut it. And for that moment, I said, Swami, I lost it now. I have lost you completely. And I did not know what to do because I was just standing there. And recollecting the entire episode that fell on me. And one more incident happened before the professor fell. He said, your father is waiting outside. He has come. I said, my father? He says, yes, your father has come. Aaj hi aaya, flight se aaya. You go, he is waiting outside.
Come by flight.
Yeah, and then that whole incident happened and then I decided, no, I will try once again. So I, when the boys were going outside with the prasadam, I also took one plate and went. And I sat near Swami. And I said, Swami, cheat kiya. You cheated. Then he laughed at me. He held my ear. And he put his hand on his lips and said, quiet. All for your good. Go. And then I was not moving. He just moved me. See, lakhs of devotees, thousands of devotees here. Go. And I went. And from then on, till the end of Swami's discourse, I was just waiting there just to go back to Swami. And Swami called the organization people and then took them up for an interview. There was no chance to go and talk to him. So I just sat in the Sai Ramesh Hall. Entire hall was empty. And I was just crying. I didn't know what to do. One more thing, sorry. He said, you remember that day I shouted at you? I said, I'll beat you if you go from here. He said, human emotions are very subtle. If your father calls you 3 more times, in that emotion you would have left. You didn't leave only for one reason, for the fear of Swami's words. At least for the fear of Swami's words, you will stay back. That is the only thing which makes you stay back. I could have said, wait here, you wait here. I could have said, wait, tantanuniku. The different tone in which I say, it will act on you. You stayed here because of the fear that that statement inbuilt.
And so his complexion had completely changed.
He says, I don't do anything without a purpose. I was sitting, I was just crying, the hall was empty and I felt a hand touch me. I thought it was Swami again and I turned back and it was my father.
Okay.
And I said, Papa, when did you come? He says, Abhi aya, flight se aya. The same words Swami uses.
Yes.
And I told father, you know why I came here? He says, yes, you came to study MBA. That is there. That was a medium. But the life's purpose, I have just known it now. When Swami told me that I had to extend your life. That is the reason I came here. I don't know what he's going to do with my life now, with the extension. But I know that this is a life of grace. After 8 months, there were some problems in my family. So my father had called an astrologer. And he said, okay, do one thing. Go to a pan shop, close your eyes, just take 5 petals. And just come, don't count. So he says, first is your father, that is my father's father. Second leaf will be you. Third is your wife. Fourth is your son. Fifth will be your daughter. Since you want to ask of these 5 people. It will be indicative of what is going to happen to these 5 people. He took 4 leaves. That was completed. He told about my grandfather. He told about my father, mother. The 4th leaf he took.
These are palm leaves.
These are beetle leaves.
Okay. Beetle leaves. Okay, beetle leaves.
So the 4th leaf he took. And he just saw it was broken right from the end to end.
Mm-hmm.
It was just holding by the edges.
Okay.
And he said, is this your son's leaf? And then he says, his lifespan should have ended. See, this is torn end to end. This is just holding by the edge. And then he said, this is absolute grace. He has some param shakti which is holding him. His body is holding his life because of some param shakti. I don't even want to talk about him. He says his life should have ended sometime before. And then again, temporarily you forget, no? Then I went back. I told my father, see, this is what I told you. And see, this third party is validating what has been told. And that event pushed it, turned my family towards Swami. Because till that time, see, unless an event happens to you personally, the impact is not there.
Yes.
So this opened my father and mother's eyes and they said, this is it. You know, this is a third party authentication that he has extended your life. And that astrologer refused to speak anything. He says, whose life is being held by a Mahashakti, what do I qualify to speak? I don't want to talk of this boy. And then I again remembered he saying, life extend kiya, socho mat kitna jiyega.
Yes.
And that even turned my parents also towards Swami. So the whole family came into his fold 2002 or 3 that time. So Prishti, I always remember when he said in Trai that what event I make you understand, you know, and you are grateful.
Yes.
But there are several events in our life, Prishti, which we don't even know that has changed because of him, because he has not told us that.
Yes.
So I learnt that time to live every day and every moment as a life of gratitude. That unless you live your life with gratitude, you have not lived properly. Because only that is the proper dedication to him.
Absolutely.
Let me narrate to you an episode. Our room leader was Kotesa. I asked him, is it compulsory to go for darshan?
Oh my God.
I had the nerve to ask him that.
I think it's a very sea change when you become a Sai student, because it's only when I joined the Satya Sai College I discovered that this God is not a photograph on the wall and he's not something so distant, it's something very, very near you.
And this was lovely because there you had on the gymnastic bench a student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle. Again, it was arm wrestling with Swami. With Swami.
And having been given the divine golden opportunity to have studied in his institutions and directly experienced his love, then we have to really live our lives to reflect his teachings.
Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories is our weekly radio series in which we bring you conversations with the former students of Bhagwan Baba's schools and colleges. You can also listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai on the Morning Glory segment of Thursday Live, which starts at 9:40 a.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can also download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/sai-students. That is, radiosai.org/SAISTUDENTS. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you just heard part 2 of our Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories conversation with Mr. Venkatraman Krishnamurthy. Next week, you can enjoy part 3 of this interview right here on Morning Glory. Your feedback to this interview is really very important to us. You, as always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. With that, it's time for me to bid you Sai Ram and wish you a saisome awesome day ahead. And as I leave you, I have a message for you from the great thinker and philosopher Jiddu Krishnamurthy. Jiddu Krishnamurthy, as you may recall, he has many achievements to his credit, including the Rishi Valley schools that exist in various parts of India. Mr. Jiddu Krishnamurthy says, and I quote him, "When you call yourself an Indian or a Muslim or a Christian or a European or anything else, you are being violent. Do you see why it is violent? Because you're separating yourself from the rest of mankind. When you separate yourself by belief, by nationality, by tradition, it breeds violence. So man who is seeking to understand violence does not belong to any country, to any religion, to any political party or partial system. He is concerned with the total understanding of mankind." Unquote. J. Krishnamurthy. Thank you for your company on Morning Glory this morning, and Jai Sai Ram.
Govinda, Jai Govinda. Govinda, 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 Govinda through the